guys, welcome back to the Kit and Krista podcast. I've already angered you.
There's a strange energy in the air today. We'll see how this one goes.
There is?
I walked in the door and you accused me of being, of what?
Antagonistic.
What was it? Antagonistic. For some reason that I don't understand at all.
I don't know. You had an air about you. You had an air. Maybe because we're busy today.
I'm
I don't know.
Putting on airs.
You're putting on airs. And then I peeked at your paper and you had written in
you
very
should not have...
large writing something that said, Kitterati?
Let me explain
Please
that.
First of all, Please explain.
We have two pages. Yours is for your eyes, mine is for mine eyes. Mine eyes.
mine eyes.
Me eyes.
Me
so
keepers.
People have been asking. So it'd be fun to have some nicknames for the Kit and Krista fan base. And I still think also for both of us. So that's what I came up with.
Kitterati?
That's the name for all the Kit fans out there.
Oh,
the Kitterati. What do you have for your fans? This is what I said. There's some people who like you. There's some people who like me.
Oh, here we go.
There's some people who don't like you. That's who we have, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
And the people are just getting in line to join the Kitterati.
People can be proud members of the Kitterati. It's so great because it really aligns, you know, it's based on the literati, who are people who are very learned.
I thought it was the Illuminati.
No. Very.
Those are bad people.
Literati.
That is the Da Vinci Code.
Learned. Erudite.
Erudite.
Yes. This is what I align myself with every day.
So philosophical.
Yeah, so I'm going to turn my page around. There's nothing, no more secrets for you to
really
rip off.
Really large letters, though.
In a Sharpie.
Large notes.
I couldn't forget it.
Large notes.
It came to me late at night. I was like, I'm going to forget this. If I don't
shower thought?
It might have been, yeah.
Might have been a shower thought. I think it should be the...
Never mind where I get these thoughts.
Thanks for interrupting. This is why the energy is weird. I think we should be the Christopians.
Right.
Because, you know, my Animal Crossing island is Christopia.
Yeah. Oh.
So the Christopians,
great,
like the Hylians, aha.
Okay.
Could be.
Good.
Much better than the Kitterati.
Boy, the Kit and Krista don't like each other, folks, are going to have a field day on this one. They're still out there.
You got to keep them
They're
guessing.
Still out there.
That's
like,
the thing.
Well, they've been doing this for 8 years, but they hate each other's guts.
And then they have to, they're now forced to do it together of their own volition somehow.
We forced ourselves.
Can't get away from this. Speaking of things that I need to own up to this week.
Oh?
This is the new segment of our show called Krista Owns Up to Her L's.
What happened?
I forgot a very important Animal Crossing game, which is Wild World.
It's fine.
And I realize the reason why I've forgotten is because something bad happened.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Something,
we're not going to talk about that.
Something bad happened. We might want to talk about it. Not here.
No, I'm getting nervous.
Not here. But there was something that made me...
Hurt your feelings a bit.
Made me lose my... Like, I had blocked out a portion of this Wild World thing because of that bad thing.
Okay.
So, maybe we'll go into that in the secret Patreon-only Q&A. Because it wasn't great. Okay, so, yeah. But speaking of Patreon-only secret Q&A.
Wow, what a segue.
What a segue.
Look at you.
New Patreon tiers are live.
They're up now. Yeah. Check
Yay!
Them out.
Yay! We're so excited about them. I think it just... allows us to have even more ways to interact with all of you, and that is kind of the point of this whole thing. So yeah, we hope you're excited as well and that you're going to be joining us. I think it's going to be really fun. We got
a whole video going into great detail about what's in each of those and what you can expect, so check that out.
Never been a better time
to join.
Well, hope you join our family, and again, of course, thank you so much to everyone who is already part of our Patreon. We love you guys as usual, and we're so excited to roll out even more fun stuff that we can do together as a community. It's gonna be great.
That's right.
What else is a happening? Your face was in jeopardy.
Distress.
It might be in distress again today, actually.
Why is it always mine? That's what I want to know.
You got a face that is waiting to be wrecked.
You're like, I have a big idea. It involves mangling your face.
It involves me doing something really horrible to your face.
Why do you like this?
I don't
See,
know.
Again, the ominous energy is just surrounding
this room.
It's
like Elden Ring energy. That big Elden Ring boss energy.
I need an exorcist
energy.
By the time
what is that?
We're done with this.
B-E-R-E.
Wait, what is it?
Big Elden Ring boss energy.
Oh, boss energy. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
That video's out.
Your face gets wrecked.
But it's fine today.
It's fine today. Your face not permanently. Your face has recovered from the wrecking. Yes. The wrecking
and
the wrecking.
It was a 24-hour wreckage. It was one of those.
But that video was so much fun. If you want to see us mangle Kit's face some more, like, let us know, because I'm definitely down to do that.
Well, we're doing another video right after this.
Yeah.
We're playing
the I mean, that could be my face, though.
That's true.
It's both our faces.
Yeah. So we're playing Mario Kart 8 DLC, Deluxe, the new tracks that came out. And you had this like word association. It's like
Coconut Mall, coconut pie.
Coconut pie. So we're going to do some races and the loser gets a coconut pie in the face.
Yeah, the loser gets, so we'll cut the pie in half. The loser gets
half
the pie in the face. And the winner gets to eat the other half.
I love
of the pie.
I want to eat this pie.
You better win then.
Oh my gosh.
Either you eat half a pie.
I think that's too
much
pie.
Or you get half a pie smushed in your face. That's them's the breaks.
But we've been talking about this and you're like, so you're going to get the pie in the face. I'm like, why are you so sure that
I bought the pie this weekend. Yeah. And I showed you a picture and I think I wrote to you, get your face ready to be pied. Pie's in the fridge right now. Mama Yang is
on the weekend.
Good care.
Just get threats out of the blue. I'm trying to have a nice weekend. I'm like, you're going to get it. Your face is going to get it. Report these messages to the police or something.
But they're so friendly. Police is going to be like, oh, she got you a pie. That's so nice of her. What a wonderful friend she is.
But that video is going to be out on Friday, Thursday for our Patreon. We're kind of reshuffling our schedule.
We'll make a little thing for the schedule because it's getting a little bit.
It's little what?
A packed
it's
week.
It's full is what it is.
It's a packed full. Jam, packed with fun times week.
Yeah.
But yes, that video will be out on Friday for everybody. Exciting times for your face all around.
Every day is an exciting time for my face.
You look in the mirror and you're just like...
This masterpiece that sits atop my neck.
AVF.
They call my face.
AVF. AVF. Vogue. The other really fun thing we have going on today is Tunic.
We're going to talk about that game later and we'll go into the details, but we have two codes for the Xbox version of the game.
Thank you so much for giving that to us, the beautiful people at Finji.
Finji? Oh, love to say that.
Finji, and their logo is the cutest. Yeah. But yeah, they gave us two codes to give to you guys because the game is amazing. We want you to play it if you haven't tried already. Yeah. And we'll go into the details of how to enter for your chance to win later in this episode.
Right.
All right. Yes. Big topic today.
Oh?
We are old. It's been 10 years since...
What if you were a 10-year-old? What if you're 10 years old?
Because okay.
I was
but
born
you still,
on
I mean,
the day Kid Icarus
time
came out.
Has... Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But time has gone... Time has gone on. It's been...
The profound statements.
The passage of time has happened, okay? As like sand through the hourglass.
Right.
This is the passage
of
time.
Won't be getting it back.
You won't... Yes. Once it's gone, it's gone. But Kid Icarus turns 10.
Yes.
I can't believe, honestly, I cannot believe it's been 10 years. This game was, I think that we've worked on so many games at Nintendo, but I feel like this is one of the ones that was like kind of the zaniest.
Very memorable. Very.
Memorable for for a lot of things. Not only because the game itself was so like kooky and weird and awesome, but also the events and the launch stuff that we did around this game was so
frantic.
Kooky and random and zany. Just like, now that I think back to it, I'm like, this is never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah. Definitely not, because we don't work there anymore.
Well, yeah, but like, that's true. I mean, we can still do it on our own. Host our own tournaments.
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't need you.
Stop doing Kid Icarus. Now I'm getting pies in the face. Threatening text about
Pitt's
a pie
gonna
on
get a
Saturday.
Pie in the face. A little mini pie.
Pitt's going to be just fine, okay?
He's going to be fine. He's an angel. He's okay. But we, it's exciting that we're going to be able to look back on the 10-year anniversary and on all the cool things that we worked on for this game and like, talk about this game. I feel like no one talks about this game anymore, but it was such a...
Shout out to Game Explain. Game Explain has been all over this 10-year anniversary.
I was going
to
say,
they have a great interview with some of the voice actors. Yes. They were reunited.
So cool.
Yeah, I guess it's become kind of an under-the-radar anniversary.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see if Nintendo officially acknowledges it. Some they do, some they don't.
And this is one of those things where, like, I feel like there's a... Like a sleeper, you know.
It's definitely a cult following around this game.
And I wish that it was bigger because this game is so cool and so unique. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see if Nintendo acknowledges it at all. But we're definitely going to acknowledge it. And it's awesome. I think it's great to look back.
All right, so let's go way back here.
Way back, so 10 years ago.
This game was announced, I think this game was announced at the same press conference at E3 where the 3DS was first shown.
That's when we had like the line of people holding up the 3DS.
Yeah, yep. And that was definitely like one of the big key games that people were looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely, you know, something we kept pointing to in those very lean days.
Yeah.
I mean, those early 3DS days were rough because there was not a lot of games.
Steel Diver.
there was not even an Pilot eShop. Pilot
Wings.
When the 3DS launched. That's right. We think now, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many games.
Yeah, because at least you have like a backlog, back catalog, right?
Every week you get this crazy dump of eShop games. It was like, well, maybe there's like one physical release
Every two weeks
or something.
It wasn't even two. I think it was longer.
Not for Nintendo, but just in general.
Yeah, in general. Yes,
but it was,
yes.
You know, some like, oh, it's, you know, Lego game X.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So those were poor rough times.
Yeah. Early days, definitely rough. And also it was like a weird, one of those systems where it's like, got to get people on board with this glassesless 3D. And that was some nonsense that we had to talk about.
And then we had the ambassador program and that crazy price drop, which we'll talk about some other time.
Oh, that's right.
I got my ambassador certificate still, proudly.
Proudly.
Displayed, yes.
Yes,
the only
that's
thing
right.
on my 3DS now. No, I can't.
But
another, you know, just as it relates to us, this predates Nintendo Minute.
Right.
So we were just, you know, Joe and Jane Schmo.
Regular folk.
Pushing papers around.
That's right. We were like, this was when we were deep in the traditional like PR days back then. There's really no social media.
Nope. Barely any.
I think maybe a Twitter.
Yeah.
But it was very lean.
No.
We were doing very traditional like press releases.
Cold calling
the media.
Hello, Des Moines Sun. Can I interest you in Kid Icarus Uprising?
Contra Costa Times. We actually know somebody from Contra Costa Times. He's a nice person. But it was a lot of like the like boots on the ground type of PR, as they call it, you know, like the old school days where there was no internet, like, and you really did rely on so much of like putting an actual event together. Like we were like event planners back then, you know. Yeah.
That was a part of the job I did not like.
I actually was pretty good at that part of the job, and
you were extremely good at that part of the job.
I enjoyed it, but it is not. It's kind of like not what you signed up for, really.
That was my thinking. It's like that was definitely my impression when I started. I was like, wow, this PR team is really doing
a lot of stuff that isn't PR. Yeah.
They're cool, but I don't know if it's really like the goal of PR is like you get the coverage.
Yeah.
In,
you get,
you know,
media
whatever
to write
outlet you
stories
want.
About you.
Yeah,
your
I was like, these
products.
Are cool. I don't know if it's really accomplishing that. It's like it's like a cool like vanity project, maybe.
It's called like stunt PR.
Right.
But it is like, it's a shot in the dark whether or not it's going to get the coverage. Right. It's going to be worth it, right?
Yeah.
So we were doing a lot of that. And then this game, my history with this game actually started with this game. Like, I did not play.
As it did with everybody? What are you talking about?
I mean, like, I
didn't. You mean the series?
Yeah, the series.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the series.
Yes.
Like, I did not play the original Kid Icarus.
I didn't either.
You didn't either. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people out there might.
Maybe this is some blast. I don't think that game is that great. I mean, it's
the original Kid Icarus game.
Extremely early NES game.
Yeah, and it's super hard.
Very clunky, I would say. Very hard.
Yeah.
Just like,
just kind of impossible for
hold on.
A person like me to play. I don't know. Maybe there's like a original Kid Icarus savant out there that is amazing at this game. Wow. And that would be awesome. Yeah. I'd like to hear from you. I didn't have too many familiarities with the characters. I didn't, of course, I already liked the Greek mythology part of it. That was already very appealing to me. So I think that's what like initially sort of piqued my interest about it.
The thing I associate it with is the Captain N TV show.
Oh.
Where there was Pit and there was also the Eggplant Wizard.
The Eggplant Wizard,
But I the game was like a whatever kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. There was like weird animated, like sort of like other IP things associated
with
it.
It was like a mashup.
But it was weird. Like, why did that exist?
Captain N.
Okay. All right.
He had a cool Letterman jacket and a zapper.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He had like the members only kind of like
look
going on.
No, Letterman.
Is it Letterman or members only?
It had a big N on it, I think. It's okay. Captain N, you see.
I see. You need the K. That'll work for me.
No,
too.
I want the Captain N jacket. Okay. I don't even want the K jacket.
Okay.
If you're going to walk down the street with a Letterman jacket that says Kitterani on it, I'm going to get beat up or arrested or something.
I think if I wore a Christopian jacket, I'd probably get like asked to be a fashion model.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There's a difference between you and I. Yeah.
So anyway, we were both working on this game together. Yeah. We get assigned projects.
Right. Everybody gets assigned a game to lead, quote unquote, and you basically have to do like everything related to the PR for that particular game.
And there was
game.
Often a lead and a support.
Yeah. You were the lead. I was the lead. I was the support.
You were the support. Yes. And, you know, kind of as we do, like we look ahead to like, well, you know, what do we have this year? Or like, when are there going to be pockets of times when it's going to be really busy? Yeah. And I was really dreading the end of 2011.
Right.
Because you and I were also working together on Zelda Skyward Sword.
Right.
Which we had been working on for a while. And we knew it was like, okay.
That's going to be a big,
big Zelda
suck.
Game associated with the anniversary.
Right. The 25th anniversary.
And we were already
stuff.
Feeling like, oh, we are really stretched thin on this. And then like, We were waiting to get started on Kid Icarus, but I was just dreading it because I was like, this is going to be the end of us.
Yeah, we're never going to make it. Like, we just not enough time in the day kind of to do everything.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really interesting about Nintendo is that the teams are really small.
Yeah.
I think the entire, like, internal PR team at that time was only, like, 3 or 4 people.
Yeah, it was a couple people. You know, we had agencies helping us, but there's a lot that you need to do when you're the person.
Yeah, especially with the developers and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So, fortunately, we were saved.
The game got delayed.
An angel, such as Pitt, came down and said, we will delay this game so that you
will
not need
just
to
like,
suffer.
We're so happy.
Usually a game delay, it's like, oh, shucks. This was really like,
it was like,
thank
such
goodness.
A like a sigh of relief.
Totally.
But it also, like, I think it enabled us to do like that crazy cool thing. That
did much
we
better
ended
work
up,
on it.
Yeah,
and the
than
result.
We ended
yeah.
up doing. Yeah. Yes, so, but
that's our extremely selfish point of view on this.
Sorry if you're waiting for this game 10 years ago.
Well, I'm sure the game was better, too, for being
that's
delayed.
True.
You know,
that's true. Nintendo is very, very like, we do not ship a game until it's ready, until it's perfect.
Right.
So.
But, you know, again, knowing that was going to be the big holiday game for the 3DS, there was definitely some like pain of like, oh, rats.
Like a fist clench
moment.
White
knuckle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were, I mean, again, the very lean like launch lineup and for that system.
I can't remember what other games in 2011 holiday there were, but that was going to be a big one.
That was going to be the one. Yeah.
Yeah. So it got pushed out to March, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And then the other thing that's really interesting about this game is we were working with Mr. Sakurai.
Right.
And of course, Mr. Sakurai, we used to work with him on Smash and things like that.
And did it well into the future after this.
And yes. And then of course we worked with him on Smash recently. But this was interesting because this is the first time that we worked with Mr. Sakurai on a non-Smash game.
Right.
And it's just like cool to see sort of how, you know, the same developer's viewpoint on a different game. You know, like he's just thinks about it in such a different way, which is really cool.
I mean, 10 years later, he's done nothing but Smash since
that's
this game came out.
I know.
And
I know.
Kind of leading up to it, he hadn't really done much
except
Smash.
For Smash.
So this was his one little, it was like a
it's
vacation.
Like a little breath of fresh air for him.
Right.
Yeah, I often wonder about developers that just really stick like onto one franchise for like their whole career. Like, I don't know if this is true, but like for me, that would just be, I don't know, I would feel like, oh, is there something else I can do?
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you know, he definitely like hints of like, gosh, I don't know if I can keep making these games, or like Hideo Kojima, you know, he also had a lot of those mixed feelings when he was doing Metal Gear of like, this is the last, like, every time it was, this is the last one until somebody talks me into doing it again.
I know, same thing with Mr. Sakurai.
But no, it was great to see him, you know, make a totally different kind of
game.
And really, you know, put a lot of different things into it that you don't see into a Smash game.
Right. And I think that it's very true to who he is. Like some of the very unique elements, like just think basic things like how the game is controlled with the stylus and the crazy, like, you know, mechanics is so Mr. Sakurai, because he's the guy that plays both Smash characters with two hands. Like he's like the ambidextrous like master, you know?
Yeah.
It totally makes sense that he would make this, you know, Kid Icarus the way that it is. And he's also like, he's a genius, but he's also a perfectionist. Like he's very much Like,
that's what I would say is, like, you know, when you're signing up to work on a game with Mr. Sakurai, he is involved in everything.
And
you might,
and he's paying attention.
And you might wonder how he even has the time to do it. But like you said, he's a genius. So he just is able to.
He's able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's very high expectations, though.
Of course.
So you really have to, there's a lot of pressure for, I think for us, we were marketing the game. Obviously, we want to do our best to, like, show the game in the best of our abilities, right? And live up to his standards.
Yeah. But
No, go ahead.
I cut you off. See, look, I'm bringing some politeness to this.
To your this Illuminati
red,
ways.
Red-tinted podcast.
Black-tinted.
What I was going to say is, you know, you want to work hard for all the developers who are making these games, but I think on a Sakurai game, you really, you know, try hard because you know he is giving, like, everything
he has into
it. So it's like, boy, this guy's probably, you know, working crazy hours, like really just squeezing every little bit out of his mind.
And he's like I can't... so detail oriented that you know he's going to notice if you are not detail oriented.
Right.
So there is a level of pressure, I think, when we worked on Sakurai games. Like, oh, it's a Sakurai game. Got to mentally prepare myself to, like, just, you know, be on that level.
On,
like,
we
cannot be on his level, but strive to be on that level.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we did when we would get assigned a game is we make, you know, a PR plan. And, you know, with this game, it was obviously, you know, bring your best ideas and, you know, let's see what we can really do. So we kind of came up with this idea of doing these around the country pre-launch tournaments for the game. Which, you know, it's always interesting when you're coming up with ideas, because, like, on one hand, you want to come up with great ideas, then on the other hand, it's like, oh, I got to do all these
things. That's the thing, I was just going to say, like, around the country pre-launch tournaments in this big, crazy, like, road trip thing, it just sounds so cool.
Sounds great.
But then you're like, wait, who has to go on these trips?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's us.
Oh, wait, it's us.
So we did. Yeah. We actually, you and I journeyed around. Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was cool, though, like, how very big it felt, though. So, you know, we worked with our sales team. We did these all at GameStops.
Yep.
And that was kind of how we chose the four locations.
And people could pre-order, like, right when they go to
It was San Francisco, Los Angeles, Orlando.
And New York.
And then
the
finale
finals.
Was in New York.
Yep.
It was really one of the first opportunities people had to play the game before it came out. So that was cool. And, you know, it just felt like a big production. Like,
it did. It was a big production.
I know you did a lot of that work. So it definitely, I think, you know, the work definitely paid off in what people experienced. And we were actually going back and we found some videos online.
We'll share those videos. There's a baby Krista, like, hosting the, the Nintendo, like, this was, again, pre-Nintendo Minute.
Yeah.
Really pre, like, real social media. And we had some of the producers that worked on our web team produce these, like, sort of, like, recap videos for us, because, again, it was the whole thing, like, if you're going to spend all this money and all these marketing dollars on this big around the country event, like, what is the coverage going to look like? You guys may justify it, right? So we're trying to all these different ways to make sure people, like, heard about it even if they were not able to go.
And speaking of that team and another sort of predecessor to Nintendo Minute, I did, and I found these again.
Oh my god, they're
this
so
series
amazing.
Of, like, tutorial videos for the game, which I mean, they're a little cringy, mostly because they're scripted. You're reading a teleprompter.
It's like, here, like, hold the thing like this. It's very, like, step one, step, like, very much no personality, just kind of like, this is the information.
And that was also in the era where it's like, well, if you're putting a video on the internet, it needs to be as fast as snappy as possible. So it's just, like, cut down to,
it's like a minute.
It's like, there's almost nothing here because we just kept cutting.
Yeah, this is before the days
here
of,
here we are doing a 2-hour podcast.
Long form video. I know. Now I'm like, now I'm just distill this podcast down to 2 minutes.
Oh no!
Just bleep.
Is it digestible?
Oh yeah. Is it snackable content?
Right.
But yes, that was, those are such interesting little, like, different ways we would do things back in the day.
So the first one of these tournaments was in San Francisco, and I remember it was happening alongside Game Developers Conference,
which is also this week.
It's happening, so it felt very hectic leading up to it, because it was, like, all these multiple things overlapping. You know, that's definitely, like, the first tournament was where, like, the reality set in of, like,
oh, this is going to be really hard.
Just the logistics of it. I forget how many people were in the tournament, but it was definitely a lot.
Yeah.
It was definitely
you had to,
in,
like,
the dozens.
Do We did so many things by hand too. I don't know why we did that, but it was a lot of like
sign people up
with like a clipboard.
Have a bracket that you're managing.
Yeah, you were like, I was like filling out the bracket while people were doing stuff.
And it's just like herding cats because it's like I had this bullhorn.
I was on the bullhorn
every one of these tournaments, and it was like, Joshmo, please come up. Joshmo, where are you?
Yeah,
these people would like run off in the middle of the tournament. Like, do you want to be in this or not? And it was like, you know, teams 3-on-3.
Right.
So
if you lose one, you'd have to like get another person in.
Almost like handcuff these people together. Yeah, like
don't leave.
Do not leave. And if you like turn away, they leave.
Yes.
Like, what do you think?
And it's like you're in like a public space. There's other people like shopping at the game.
It's crazy, hectic. It's chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then the other thing that's really nutty is that not only you can't just pre-launch, like the game just doesn't like exist.
Oh,
you can't just let it like, you know, like you're not just handing somebody a 3DS and going like, please play this game. Like,
true.
You have to like lock them down.
Yeah. Nintendo is extremely serious about
that stuff. That is the scariest thing.
Before games come out.
Yeah.
But you know, we have people helping us with that stuff.
Yeah.
But again, it brings a whole nother level of
anxiety.
Of just like the production needs to take this into account and be perfect also.
And they were in these big, like huge cases.
We call them interactives.
They were interactives, and they had TVs attached to it. You can put some graphics on top.
They look
made graphics for Kid Icarus.
Right.
And then they had a 3DS basically like attached to it with a stylus attached to it.
There's no way
thing.
You're getting that 3DS out of there.
No.
If you tried.
You cannot, like, and it's all locked. Yeah. Everything, the game is basically locked inside of it, so it's nice and secure. But we were shipping these things like around the country because that was the only way people could
logistics.
Play this game pre-launch. Yeah.
Another thing I let you figure out.
Yeah. No, our events team is incredible. Yeah. Like back in the old days when we used to do these events like this. But
yeah. So San Francisco is just like the harsh reality of like, oh boy, we signed up to do three more of these in places that are not our home turf. San Francisco's our home turf.
Yeah, we were just like.
So it's like, whatever. Just like, you know, easy. Roll out of bed and do this tournament.
So then we're off to LA.
The next one was LA, which I guess not far, not a crazy trip.
Yeah.
That one was memorable, I remember, because I got like a tap on the shoulder and I was like, oh, what's this? And it was the Pit voice actor.
Yes, who was in the Game Explain interview. He's very nice.
Who just like. We didn't invite him. He just kind of heard about it and showed up.
So cool.
And I recognized the voice immediately.
He was like, sorry to keep you waiting.
Yeah. So I was like, oh. He's like, oh, I just thought I'd check this out. Like, well, that's cool.
I think we have pictures of him like playing and just like hanging out with people that were there. So it was so much fun.
I guess that was a big Hollywood moment or something.
That was very, very cool. I thought it was, people were making him say things. Yeah. It was fun. It was definitely fun.
Yeah. And then it got just even more bizarre. You know, we went to Florida after that in Orlando. I'd never been to Florida before then. You had been to Florida.
Oh, that's right. I was doing another thing for Nintendo where I went to Florida.
Hadn't you been to like Disney World or something?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was doing something for the Home Shopping Network. Another story for another time.
Was that in Orlando?
That was in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is
so you'd never been to Orlando either?
No.
I see. Okay. Well, that's helpful to know. So
is it though? 10 years later,
I haven't been. I haven't been since.
My
sister lives in Florida. Maybe I should go. Anyhow,
she didn't come to the tournament.
She wasn't there.
Come on.
So you know, Florida has got its own vibe. It's a little bit different.
It's definitely different from San Francisco.
We were trying to get settled and get some of that local flavor.
Yes.
We went to Bojangles.
Oh, I love Bojangles.
Delicious fried chicken.
I love Bojangles.
Shout out to Bojangles.
And
please
then
sponsor us.
That biscuit thing.
They had biscuits and chicken. Yes.
That biscuit sandwich chicken.
That's
breakfast.
What we got at Bojangles.
It was so good. And those tiny hash browns. Those
this
are
is
good.
What I'm talking about.
So
but
good.
Then we went to this. I think it's a Puerto Rican restaurant, and this food I'd never heard of. And I was like reading this menu. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, mofongos.
I ordered the mofongo.
Yeah.
Do you remember what a mofongo is?
It was like a cone of.
It was it, yes. It,
like
it was,
rice or something.
No, it was plantains.
Plantains, which is
plantains
are delicious.
And like fried pork.
Yeah. Oh,
and I was
so
just like
good.
Ordering this thing on a whim. I was based on the name. I was like, oh, mofongo, that's cute.
That's a cute name. Yeah.
And that thing was super good.
Yeah.
I'm a mofongo fan. I've never had mofongo 10 years
I haven't
later.
Had it since.
You can't get that.
We also got guandules.
Guandules, which is another name. I'm like, I have to order this.
Yeah. But all the food was amazing.
It's what is a guandule thing? You got to explain
it. I don't even remember
it's
what
that is.
It's
sort of like a pea-like.
Oh.
Pea-like thing.
It's like a falafel. Right?
Not quite.
No, I don't know.
Anyhow.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah.
If you ever had one of those things.
But Florida was just, a little nutty.
Yeah, it was. I remember it just being like just totally foreign to us. Right. We didn't know that area at all. Yeah. So we were just trying to figure it out. And then basically people qualified.
Right. And the winners moved on to New York, which was like the champions tournament. And you had this big grand winner.
Right, right. But we had to like get them there too, which was crazy.
Right. So again, please do not leave until we've taken down your information. We need to keep in touch.
We need to buy you a plane, train, bus ticket to New York City. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was nuts. But New York was cool. You know, that was kind of the big finale. And we did crown a winner.
Yes.
Who ended up, one of them was DaBuzz.
Who ended up being like an amazing crazy Smash player.
Right. So I guess he's just, you know, any game Mr. Sakurai makes, he's like a savant.
He is a savant. That's it. Right. We found our savant.
Right.
Well, I want to know, first of all, what if DaBuzz was it? Were you? I'm talking to you, DaBuzz, right now.
Oh.
DaBuzz, are you here? Hope you're here. Hope you're doing well. But like, yes. I'm curious if that was his first tournament, the Kid Icarus tournament, because I don't remember any other big sort of Nintendo sponsored tournaments.
Well, we weren't doing much with Smash then, so
yeah, and it might have been like one of our first sort of like fun competitive things.
Maybe DaBuzz or his people can tell us.
Yeah, someone tell us. I would love to know, because I think he then went on to become a really amazing competitive player. Right. So there you go.
Yeah. We also, you know, we really pulled out all the stops for the New York tournament.
Sign spinners?
I had this big, my big idea, my big contribution as the lead of this campaign was, we need a sign spinner.
That was very popular back then.
It's like, the people that do this are true athletes.
They are.
It's like an acrobat. 360s, doing like handstands, throwing this thing in the air. Like, wow, I'm just impressed
by
the sign
spinning. You need a spectacle for the finals, you
know? And people need to know. You want to draw a crowd? Like, what's this? Look at this guy spinning a sign.
No, it worked. It was amazing. And that sign spinner, true talent.
We had a food truck.
Yes.
It had all sorts of Greek delicacies.
There was like a lot of eggplant dishes.
Which I really wanted to try, but obviously we were busy.
We were working.
But there was a moment where I almost blew my stack.
You were so mad.
Again, we needed to keep track of the people. This is the finale. It's very important that things go right.
Yeah.
And then one of our co-workers who was with us, bless his soul, I'm not mad now. I was mad at the time.
You kind of had a grudge for a long time.
He took the megaphone and said,
"Your megaphone.
That's my megaphone." And he made an announcement, an unauthorized announcement that was, "The food truck has arrived. Please try the food. And the room just empties out.
Yeah.
And I was pulling my hair out. I was like, "No, we've got to get going."
Because I think we had like 2 minutes until the next round or something like that. We were on a very tight schedule. It's like you do a round, you reset the systems, and then you bring them back to do the next round. And I was like, "Wait, where did everybody go?"
I had to take him aside and have a conversation.
Do a little finger wagging.
Did not take
he's
my
like,
microphone.
He's like eating a shawarma. Yeah. He's like, "I don't care."
I never got to try it. That's what I was most
you were
upset
mad.
About.
You were mad. You were really mad.
But again, yes, we crowned a winner.
We made a great trophy.
A beautiful trophy that looked like Pitt. With
so cool, with the wings.
The wings and all that stuff. And then it was over, thank goodness.
You were exhausted.
But then we got the game, and then we played the game. So I'm curious, what have you played the game since it first came out?
No.
No.
I have not. I remember we had that little stand.
Well, we need to talk about the controls for this game.
Because
I think that's really like one of the like legacies of this game.
Oh my gosh,
how
amazing.
Is this crazy controls.
Yeah, it's so, again, it's so Sakurai.
So I feel like if this game came out today and that was again like the one control option, the criticism
would be pretty bad.
We've come a long way with, you know, all the different accessibility options, mm-hmm. and like this game was at times painful to play.
It was. It was very inaccessible at times, I think.
Right. Yeah. So as you were holding the system up with your left hand, you had to shoot with the left trigger. And then you were kind of like fighting against yourself because you were controlling
the aiming.
You were aiming
with the stylus on the touch screen.
Right. So if you were just holding it, I mean, you had to like prop it on your knee or something.
Because it would get like, you can't, it's like heavy on the other side. Like you don't have two hands.
If you're trying to play with the 3D on, you're even getting more like contorted.
Because you're trying to like get it the right distance away.
Right.
And you move the system, then the 3D gets kind of like messed up, right?
So I mean,
It did come with that stand.
The fact that it came with the stand, you know, should have been more of a red flag.
A flag, yeah.
What are we doing
here? Is that TikTok where it's like, these are the red flags?
That was a red flag. I remember then also that, remember we had that crazy accessory, the Circle Pad Pro.
That's
that came
right.
out and people were like, oh, well, I can just do normal like FPS controls with this. Oh,
you
no.
You sure can't.
That was only for, there was a left-handed control scheme that you could do that way, but it was the same thing.
But it's the same thing.
You could not just
do... Your right hand, or... Yeah. But then your left hand would be the aiming. Yeah.
You could
and your
not
right
just
hand
do
be,
proper... Yeah. But controls aside, I actually think this, you know, you can make an argument that this is Mr. Sakurai's best game. Because
it's so imaginative.
You know, you've got the combination of the on-rail stuff, you've got the on-ground stuff.
Yep.
I preferred the on-ground stuff. I was going back and reading some of the stuff when the game came out. People were mixed on whether they liked one or the other.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest like rail shooter person myself. Yeah. But you know, just the level of detail of collecting the weapons and fusing the weapons to make new ones.
Yeah.
I remember I was really addicted to like the production value is so ambitious,
so
too.
So high. The dialogue.
The characters are always talking.
Yeah, you're always hearing like some sort of like, and it's also not, the dialogue is so clever and so funny.
It is.
And so like,
and
just
the,
like,
the voice actors.
Voice actors.
Were great.
Amazing.
And the multiplayer mode is what I remember the most. Like, I was really into that.
It was fun.
And like, I would love to see this game just, you know, we don't even need a new Kid Icarus game. I would just love
to
see
Switch.
This game again with like a proper, like, you know, control scheme.
Yeah.
I wonder though, so because, you know, Mr. Sakurai, he loves that motion of like flicking things. Like you flick the stick and somebody runs. I remember there was a lot of like flick
stylus.
With the stylus.
Yeah.
I wonder if there would be a way to kind of recapture
it.
It
is very visceral, like that.
Yeah.
That sort of
motion. And it does give you, you know, like really fast. It's almost like PC like aiming because you can be so
fast. Yeah,
it's
almost like a mouse, right? Yeah.
But it just, it was
it's tough. It's a big ask.
A lot of trade-offs that came with that. So,
yeah, I just thought this game was, again, like something that, it almost felt like he was just like dying to put new ideas into something that was not
You had the AR cards, which really like served almost no purpose at all, but
who cares?
I mean, they were cool.
They were just, there's a lot of like collectability in the game. I think that was like a real way to like bring that to life,
which
was
like,
cool.
You know, Smash-esque trophies
that
you could get and collect.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, just such an ambitious game, like way ahead of its time.
Definitely.
Like it looks great. So I, you know, I have no idea what the future might hold for this series. Again, it's not like on the top shelf of Nintendo franchises.
It's a little bit lesser known.
Yeah,
I think
you would,
for sure.
You would need somebody to really like say like, I'm going to revitalize this. So
yeah, or that there's gotta be some call to get it revitalized.
Right.
But yeah, so, it's a little unfortunate sometimes games like these that are a little bit more niche that are still just really incredible.
Yeah.
Don't get a second life, but yeah. Well, it was definitely a cool thing to work on, and it was for sure one of the most, I think, unique projects that we've done at our time at Nintendo. And that says a lot because we worked on a lot of stuff.
Right.
But this was one I'll definitely remember, I think, for like forever. So, yeah. Tell us your memories, your Kid Icarus Uprising memories 10 years ago. If you're at these tournaments,
we
want to
hear from
us.
You.
We want to know if you guys are.
Did Krista say something mean to
did
you?
Did I say? No, I did not. Did Kit yell in your face with a megaphone? Probably yes. Did you eat a shawarma?
Please
we want to know. Tell us. Yeah. If you're, DeBuzz, if you're out there, tell me how you're doing. cool. Yeah, that's Kid Icarus.
We're not done with Kid Icarus, though.
No, we're
really
playing
a fun little game, though, in our Never a Minute segment here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We did this a couple times on Nintendo Minute. Good
I like
hang
this one.
Or tough hang?
Yeah.
So the
set it up for the people.
So the idea of this is you just take a character, and based on what you know about them, you make a decision. Would they be a good hang or a tough hang? Meaning fun to hang out with or a pain in the butt to hang out with?
Yeah. And sometimes it's you know, it's a little bit unexpected because you know what? Mario could be a tough hang.
Yeah.
Because he's very busy. He might not have time for you, for
he
example.
He wouldn't be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though he's a nice guy, right?
So we have four Kid Icarus Uprising characters, Pit, Palutena, Medusa, and Magnus. And we're going to make the ultimate determination. Are they a good hang or a tough hang?
Right.
First is Pit. Please lead us off here.
Okay, Pit. I think
already
for me,
stumped.
A good hang. He's very energetic.
Yeah.
He can fly, so that's exciting.
Oh, that's true.
That could be fun.
I hadn't taken that into consideration.
He has a good attitude about most things, the go-getter.
Yeah.
My only pause is that he could get a little annoying. Mm. You know, he's a little bit too, like, goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
Like, he could be one of those those friends where you're like, you don't have to like everything, you know, like everything is not awesome all the time, you know.
Wow, way to be a downer.
So that's the only thing, like he could be a little like overwhelming with the positivity.
I see.
But
toxic positivity.
I guess. Oh, that's so sad. He's too. I mean,
they didn't have that in 2012. No, that wasn't a thing. Toxic positivity. That was not, a thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Pitt is a tough hang for that very reason.
Because you think he's too positive.
A little too much with the gee whiz, gee willikers, holy cow stuff.
Be a little all right, too, we're goody two shoes.
You know, talking to him on the phone, hey, Pitt, we're going to go hang at the place. The guys are going to come over. We're going to get a pizza. Wow, pizza, gee willikers, amazing. And it's just like, by the time you're done with that night, you're just not going to call.
Like, you're annoyed by it.
He's not going to get invited next time.
Yeah, no, I could see. That's exactly, I can see that.
Trying to relax, okay? Take it down.
He doesn't need to take it, be at a 10 all the time.
Yeah.
But I think if you were going somewhere where you need someone to be energetic and bring you up, like he would be that guy.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right. Next Palutena. Ooh, I'm going to say tough hang for this one. She's too annoying. No offense. Like,
wow.
Don't be
way to come out and say.
Sorry. Like she's very.
She's right behind you.
She's gonna get me. She's gonna like poke me.
She's gonna zap you.
Zap me.
Yeah.
She is very needy. Like she has a lot of needs. Like she's in this game.
Yeah.
She's always asking Pitt to do this and that and the
do
other
her
thing.
Her bidding.
Yeah. No one's got time for that, girl. You do your own bidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. I feel like she'd be the friend that's like, okay, can you do me this favor? Like, can you do this for me? And then never gives you like never. It's like a one way street with with that person. Like. You're always doing them favors, like picking up their stuff and helping them with stuff, and they never help you out.
Wow.
And the chatter is a little annoying. Like she's kind of a ditz. She's kind of a ditz.
There's a lot of talking from all these people. So
yeah, but she's
if you're looking to be alone with your thoughts, maybe don't invite any of these people.
But she's kind of like a space cadet, even though she's like a goddess. It's like hello.
Wow, this is harsh. This is a takedown.
Sorry, Palutena.
Well, on to me. I'm gonna say she's a good hang. So what?
She's pretty.
What I like about hold on.
It's not all about.
What I like about her is initially on the surface you think that she's a goody two shoes, but then she slips in enough like digs or like kind of like almost off color remarks where he's like, oh, I like this, and she's gonna keep you on your toes.
Oh boy. You want to do her bidding.
I like it. Yeah. Again, I was going back.
This says a lot about your personality.
I was going back through some of these cutscenes, and she's got some lines. I'm like, wow, did she really say that to a poor little Pitt there?
That's what I'm saying. She's kind of mean. Like it's funny, but not if you're on the receiving end the time.
I like that. I think that's good.
Like you'd be like, okay, girl. Like I don't know if I can.
And again, like, you know, just like you were saying, you know, I'll say this in a family friendly way. She's easy on the eyes, so maybe
can
we
say could, that she's pretty.
Maybe
it's
we
okay.
can have a private hang, and I can have her try on my Kitterati Letterman jacket, and we can have a nice candle at dinner. That's all I'm gonna say. It'd be fun.
Oh my goodness!
Moving on, Medusa.
Ooh, see, this is a very easy one for me because I dislike snakes a lot.
How did Medusa get on this list? This was kind of a tough, like, the fourth person there. We had some options.
Well, because, like, she's sort of the anti-Palutena, so we were like, oh, she's, like, antithesis, so we'll just put her on the list.
Yeah.
But I hate snakes, so tough hang for me, for sure. Like, I can't be near her, like, at all.
No.
Like, there's no way I can be near someone that has snakes for hair. She's, I think she's, like, her personality is pretty interesting though, at least like she has like more of an edge, obviously,
right.
She's evil and wants to take you down, but like at least she has like, you know, more of a personality. So if it wasn't for the crazy snakes, like I want to get in her head, like what's making you tick
again,
in there,
maybe,
you know
I'm gonna say she's a tough hang too, but maybe she was also a product of her time, like Pitt with the toxic positivity, you know. Maybe she was, you know, the kind of friend that you would take to Hot Topic and help you put on your eyeliner and, you know, all of that sort of thing. That's just my thing. But again, that's a very easy one. Tough hang.
Yeah. Okay.
We're moving on. Magnus. Now, this one is maybe the hardest of them all
to
predict.
Not for me.
Oh.
Good hang. I'll put this in a family-friendly way.
Okay.
He's hot.
Yeah.
Let's hang out.
Okay.
I love that. He seems to be, like, sort of, you know, still a nice guy, but not like overly annoyingly positive. Like Pitt is very skilled in what he does. He's what do they describe him in the game? Like the best swordsman of all the humans
gigantic
ever.
Gigantic sword.
Huge sword. Really nice arms.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I think he'd be fun to hang out with. Like, you could, like, do a lot of stuff with him.
I agree with you here. Maybe for different reasons. he does seem to have a heart of gold, you know?
Yes, he
has a very gruff exterior. But there's a lot of scenes where he's, like, actually helping Pitt. Or he'll be, like, annoyed at first. But then he's like, all right.
I have to do this. He can't stop himself from being a nice guy.
So I think that equates.
And I think he's very easygoing. Like, you could be like, hey, Magnus, let's go, like, do whatever. He'd be like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good hang in my books.
So. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, we solved it. Definitively.
Definitively. Yeah. We kind of agreed mostly, except for Palutena. But.
Because of reasons.
Everyone has their own reasons for things. You tell us.
Because of reasons.
Tough hang, good hang. Yeah. Or good hang, tough hang. These four characters in the comments. Go.
Please tell us.
Yes.
Yes.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Well, let's move on from this 1 hour Kid Icarus talk.
My goodness.
I feel like we've been talking about it for a long time. And move on to some other games that we've been playing and enjoying.
No. We're not starting with Elden Ring.
No.
No. We're going to talk about the Mario Kart 8 Booster Course Pass. I had to make sure I had the proper name.
Yes. That's very...
That's what it's called.
Very good.
So we both played this. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely got me back into Mario Kart. I haven't touched that game in a long time. I don't think I really play unless I'm playing online with somebody.
Yeah.
But I was, like, playing, like, on and off all weekend, enjoying the new courses. I did see, like, a couple, like, you know, side-by-side comparisons. Like, oh, why does this course look different?
Oh, sure.
Like, I get where people are coming from. Like, they're probably, like, looking at the old, you know, you know, footage from these courses.
We saw Coconut Mall got the glow up.
Coconut Mall got the glow up, but there's also complaints about the escalators being gone. Now they're ramps instead of escalators. So there's
there's not knees at the
end. Yeah, there's like some good and bad on like the changes to the courses.
Sure.
My take is that like I honestly do not remember what the original. Maybe I have a bad memory.
I
can't pick the courses out of a lineup. I don't know. They look good to me. So I was thoroughly enjoying them. I thought it was great.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
So we got 8 courses, and there's a whole bunch more, you know, coming.
Yeah, you have that whole, the icons.
It's crazy to look like, whoa, there's a lot coming here. So you kind of put them into like 3 categories. There's, you know, the kind of classic tracks that are coming back, like Coconut Mall.
Yep.
There's the tour, Mario Kart tour tracks. Mm-hmm. And then we got one, that kind of Ninja Castle track is entirely new.
Right.
And you can kind of see the different like design philosophy behind all of those. Obviously the older ones were not
like a little bit more simplistic.
When you had the anti-gravity stuff.
Yeah.
You know, very traditional. The tour tracks were interesting. I played that game a very small amount and never played the Paris or the Tokyo tracks.
Right.
I really liked seeing those cities.
Me too.
In the Mario Kart art style.
I think there's like a couple other ones too. Like New York is one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I love seeing like landmarks, real life landmarks in a video game. There's nothing better than that, really. And like, being able to like drift through the Eiffel Tower or like see Tokyo Tower in the background, like that's just cool, you know?
And you could also, I don't know if this is a trademark of Mario Kart Tour, but those kind of like branching paths that they have in the track or that they'll change from lap to lap of like, this lap you're doing
this way.
You gotta
keep track.
This lap you're going that way.
The players that you're lapping go the other way too, which is really cool.
I think that's the Paris track. The last lap, you're ending
you're going on the same side.
Lane, which is interesting.
Yeah, super cool.
And then that Ninja Castle was like, wow, they're pulling out all the stuff.
It was like the most complicated
track.
It was so elaborate.
Yeah, so many different ways you can go, different levels that you could be on.
There's like, I feel like I need to just drive slowly just to explore the different areas.
Yeah, you need
areas.
To do like a 50cc run and just
to look.
Check it
out. Yeah, and then see the shortcuts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
so.
Exciting that more of these are coming.
Totally sucked me back into this game. You know, I think, so I had... There were 2 games that when we were working at Nintendo, we saw it the first time. I just had like a really crazy positive reaction. One was Breath of the Wild. We talked about this. Mario Kart 8 was actually the other one.
Yeah. I had like low hopes for it when it was first announced. Because I was like, oh, it's just going to be Mario Kart again. Like, what else can they do sort of thing? But I was totally eating my words because as soon as you like started playing it and the tracks just like light up and it's like so bright and colorful and imaginative. And you're like, oh, okay.
What it is. Like, you know, this game's like 8 years old or something now, it still looks amazing.
And it still totally holds up. Like, everything about it just
totally
holds up.
There is definitely a different art style for these new courses that's a little bit different, but I still think it looks really nice and totally fits the vibe of that game. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people have been asking, like, oh, we need Mario Kart 9, we need it. And I'm like, I don't...
Do we, though?
Why do we need that? And it makes me, like, there's so many games that really might need to think about this model going forward of, like... Yeah. Do you need to put out an entirely new game?
Or do you just add content to the existing game?
Does this just become Mario Kart because it plays great, it looks great, and you can just keep adding
content to it? You update it every couple of years, every year, or whatever, or like continuously just add to it?
Or just sell these packs like this. So I think that's an interesting conversation for a lot of gaming companies to have going forward.
Especially like a lot of these games now have like the seasons, you know, and stuff like that, where it is kind of like that model.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see if Nintendo could get on board with something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing that I would love to see is like some sort of track builder, like you build your own track, like a Mario Maker, but for Mario Kart. Wouldn't that be so much fun? Like they give you like the different little elements and you can like put your own tracks together. Yeah. You wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay,
You've got so many great courses already, and it also is like, you know, the personality that you get with all the backgrounds and the music is so great in Mario Kart. It'd be hard to.
I mean, but it's so fun to like have like. Imagine you made a Kit and Krista Mario Kart course.
Wow, way to pitch it.
Little faces.
What?
Me faces.
Drive right into my mouth.
This is where we can wreck your face in a game. Just like pow, crash into your face.
Come on now.
I think that'd be cool. Yeah. All right. That was great. I had a lot of fun this weekend playing Mario Kart again and again. It was like, I'm like totally back in this game.
I wonder when, you know, the next drop for these will be.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then definitely tune in for our Mario Kart video.
Oh, boy.
Excited about that for
sure.
Deep cleansing breath.
All right. Now we're talking about Elden Ring.
Very different.
We got to find something new to talk about with Elden Ring. So,
what do you mean? Things are happening.
Well, you said, so something exciting happened to you, which is we both beat the next big dungeon.
Yes.
Which was not as bad as the first one.
Oh my gosh. I was so happy that this dungeon.
I was too.
I could not do another one of those castles where, I think the thing with that first, the Stormveil castle, whatever it's called, is that it wasn't that the enemies were hard, but also I was lost.
It was easy to get lost. Yeah.
I didn't like that at all because you're already very tense from the scary enemies. And you're on top of that, you were lost in the dark.
Right.
That's just not, that's not fun, you know? No. This one, I was not lost. And even though the enemies were hard, I felt like I knew where I was going. I knew how to get away if I needed to. So just a much better experience.
But anyhow, after you beat that boss,
you
unlock the opportunity to respec, which I am not going to do, but you are.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Tell us about this.
Well, so when I first started this game, kind of chickened out. I usually, as you know, from Two Truths and a Lie, I never pick this kind of character. Yeah. I always pick some sort of mage or some sort of like magic.
Yeah.
You know, a magic player or character. And I chickened out because I heard that maybe magic was really hard for this game.
Oh.
And I was like, well, if I'm going to have trouble getting through it, I don't want to have the additional layer of it being hard for me to learn this character because of it being a magic character. So I went with like the very basic Vagabond character, which was great. It's fine. I'm still having a lot of fun, but I really miss playing a game like this, like using magic and having that as an option.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to respec. I'm going to go. I've already researched. I need to go get that tier.
Okay.
To go back to her to do the, to do the respecking. I've been like researching some good builds. Maybe I'm thinking some sort of like warrior mage because I still like the melee part of it, but I really want it to be like half magic and half melee. I'm looking forward to that. I'm just dying to use magic.
Now, are you worried that this might mean you have to like relearn how to play the game?
I don't know. We'll see.
I would be a little worried about that.
Yeah.
Because like I've played 40 hours swinging this sword and now I'm doing something that's like totally different.
But sometimes I'm just like, I wish I had range to get you. Like I love to stand back here.
Yeah.
Range you. And then when you run up to me, I'll like just finish it off with a sword. Like I would love that kind of gameplay, you know? But now I don't have any of those options because I have to use my sword all the time. So I feel like the only thing that maybe I need to understand more is like the flask management because now I have to use
the blue flasks.
Yeah. Right now I only have red flasks.
Only red, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe I divide in, you know, red and blue or whatever.
Yeah,
but other than that, I think I'm going to have fun. I'm excited.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll tell you how it goes.
Yeah. You and I have not tried the co-op at all. I think maybe we should.
We should. That would be fun. I do like summoning a little helper.
I still don't entirely know how it works, but
I think someone can explain it to us. Yeah. Somebody explain it to us.
Yeah.
For that boss, I did summon a helper.
Good.
Yeah. And that was very good because that boss, you definitely just needed like close up stun her.
Right.
And my little helper and I did a great job. We're a good team together. Yeah. It's great.
So you have not unlocked any new regions beyond that because you just finished that boss.
Well, I did actually because before that boss, I went into the Caria Manor and did that boss, which was actually very fun.
Okay.
That was like a side quest thing, I think. And you unlock a new region very far up north.
Oh.
I think it's called the Two Sisters or Three Sisters, something with a sister.
Oh, wow.
And there's a huge dragon in there. I went in.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, what's going on? And then I left.
Oh, my gosh.
But that was another it kind of reminded me of that big horse in the beginning of the game.
Oh, yeah.
It was another big giant guy on a horse. You cannot be on your horse, though, so it's really hard. It took me a fair amount of tries, but they give you a... So, again, I'm wanting to respect magic. I got an amazing, that huge arrow, arcane arrow that you get shot at. I got that spell.
Okay.
So I really want to use some of that when I respect.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exciting stuff. Progress.
I did unlock a new area. I think last episode I talked about this elevator that I was trying to
get
the keys to. So I finally did get the two keys for that and made it up there, which unlocks this whole new area that's a mile high above the base map.
What?
But it's massive. This map just keeps pulling out and out and out.
I know.
Every time,
where am I?
This game is getting into Breath of the Wild territory. Where it's how did they make this? I don't
quite understand
how they packed this much into this game.
Yeah, and every corner, you're still discovering random stuff.
And there's so much stuff in that game that I'll just never do. A lot of times I'll go by one of those caves. And sometimes I'll just look it up on the internet. I know people may not like that, but I'll just be like, is this worth my time? Is there something at the end that I want to get? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll be like, nah, I don't need to do it. But there's this whole elaborately designed dungeon down there.
Yeah, those little mini dungeons are like that manor that I went to. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what that area is that I unlocked. I don't think it's based on the main storyline, though. So you certainly don't have to do it. But it's that's a full-on another dungeon,
Oh, wow.
So it's that's quite a lot for a side thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. The other thing I don't have a good sense of is how close am I to being done? I close?
So we should talk about this. We're getting into a dicey time because Kirby is coming out.
I know.
And I think I had thought all right, I'll be pretty much done with Elden Ring by the time Kirby comes out.
I don't know if we are though.
And I'm definitely not.
Yeah, and we still haven't played gone back to Horizon.
Well, that's completely been backburned at this point.
That's so sad.
Well, it happens.
I really want to.
And the other game that we're both playing is Tunic.
Tunic, yeah. I've been doing 45 minutes of Tunic, an hour and a half of Elden Ring every
night. And I've mentioned this before, I really dislike splitting my time between games.
I know, but it's so hard to...
But these are all really good, so I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, I actually quite like it, because they're so different, but also they share some similarities.
They do.
Exploratory, very open world, sort of kind of you figuring stuff out. It's kind of hard.
Right.
But the look and feel of it is so different that it's it's kind of nice. Look cleanser, little palette cleanser.
All right, let's talk about that then.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. Remember when I first mentioned this, I think last episode, I was I saw this game on Twitter that I hadn't heard of and I thought it looked cool. And then, it's around the time the game comes out. I was listening to other podcasts or other people talk about it. And they say, this game has been on my radar for 5 or 6 years. And I said,
people are like, GOTY contender.
Where was I? How did I miss this?
Yeah, I've not heard of it. I haven't heard of it until you told me.
You know, you and I always love scouring PAX, the indie floor, finding stuff. And I don't think I had any exposure to this game.
Is this because we were in the pandemic and we were head in the sand?
I don't know, but it's great that,
I'm so glad
this
it exists.
Game popped to us at the last second because it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been loving it actually. It's very much one of those here's this world, figure it out. You know, they very lightly give you some of those little manuals that you can pick up and read if you want to. But it's such a cute, the art style is so cute and it's I don't know, everything is very like polished and nice and it feels good. And yeah, I've been really enjoying it.
Yeah, the game is definitely like in the traditional top-down Zelda style, but probably more towards the first Zelda game where you really get no information.
Right, right.
And you have to just figure things out on your own. And I'd be curious to learn more about this from the developer. Like, there's a lot of really, like, intense nostalgia plays with this game.
Yeah, even some of the enemies and
at the first glance seem kind of, like, superficial. Like, they didn't even need to put it in. But, like, so the manual in the game is kind of telling you how to do things. And it's like, all right, that's cute. I like the way it looks. But I actually find myself going back to that a lot.
I do, too. It's like reading an instructional booklet.
We should say that almost half the manual is in this alphabet that is like gibberish. Which I wonder at some point.
It's like the Splatoon language.
Will you ever learn to read this? Or like even like the menus are sometimes in that gibberish.
Yeah, sometimes it's like blah, blah, okay. And you're like, okay.
Sure.
I always hit okay.
But like... there's this scene like when you're looking at the manual you can kind of move it around and behind it you see like this CRT TV and you can see the game in this old style. I'm like, wait, why is this here?
And it must have been like a note to like, we were inspired by this,
right? It's trying to emulate that feeling. And it, like, it definitely like got me in a lot of places, where especially like the art style in the manual is so like dead on to that old like Nintendo Power or NES manual style.
Even the way that it's like laid out too, you're like, oh my god, this is like unlocking a core.
Right.
Memory.
It's like almost like it's like weaponized nostalgia. It's like we know this is going to get
like
you.
That, like TikTok sound, where you're like,
it's really amazing. Yeah. But it's not reliant on that at all. Like it plays in a very modern way.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and even like the art style, it's very modern. It has sort of like that polygon style.
Right. With all the, like, the out of focus is. Yeah. Playing.
Oh, I really love when you're in sort of that. When you're about to get your sword and you're in that forest area, how like the lighting is done, because it really gives you that sense of like sun shining through the leaves kind of thing. And the way they did that was so clever, I thought.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a story. Like, I'm gathering that the trapped fox is maybe the mom.
I'm not making any sense of the story yet, but
it seems very sad. It's like trapped in a crystal. Zelda.
I was worried. My worry was. That this game would have puzzles that would just be too much for me because I'm just, again, bad at those. But it hasn't been the case. There really hasn't been, like, quote, dungeons to speak of. It's all been mostly on the overworld. I did just go down a well, so we'll see if that's a dungeon.
I need to go down the well.
You got to get there.
I've seen the wells. I know that they're in the manual they talk about the wells. I was like, how do I do it?
Yeah, so it's, you know, up to this point, it's mostly how do you navigate The overworld, which I've enjoyed. I've also seen that you can get items like out of sequence. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know if you have any of these items. I have a bomb. I have two types of bombs.
Me too. I have a firecracker.
Yeah.
I have another like more regular bomb. I have two potions.
Yeah.
I have the sword.
Do you have the shield?
I don't have the shield.
I got
yet.
The shield last night.
I need to get the shield because I feel like there's an enemy that's like shooting lasers at me, and it says like get a shield.
Oh, that thing is tricky. Yeah.
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 And then you can also go into the little windmill, and you can buy stuff as well with your monies or whatever it is. Yeah.
So this game came out of nowhere. It's awesome.
I love it.
So I'm going to keep going with it. But again, it's just dividing my time.
The time is getting hard. Yeah, right. Exactly. But we do want to give away these codes to you guys, because we want you to try it if you haven't had a chance to check this game out. We have two codes to give away, so we'll select two winners. Mm-hmm. So to enter for your chance to win...
These are Xbox codes, we should say.
Yes, Xbox codes. Yes, thank you. So to enter for your chance to win, you go ahead and give this video a thumbs up. Be subscribed to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/KitAndKrista. And then leave a comment. Just fill in the blank. I want to play Tunic because. And tell us why you want to play this game. And we will select two winners at random. And the Kit and Krista YouTube account will notify you in the comments.
Yes.
If you are a winner. And then we'll give you instructions on how to contact us and give us your information, and we'll send you the code. Do not put your personal information in the comments. That is very dangerous. Don't do that. Oh boy. So wait for us to contact you, and then we'll give you more instructions on how to get your code. But
fun.
Yes, we hope that you, enter for your chance to win, and we are looking forward to giving away these codes to you guys.
There's one other game that I played briefly. Again,
I did play it briefly as well.
I just can't find the time for all these games.
I know. I played this on Sunday, which
is
actually...
This was Dawn of the Monsters. Yes. Our friends at WayForward sent us some codes, so I checked it out.
No, it's good.
This is like a kaiju beat-em-up.
Yes. And, it's like a side-scrolling, kind of like a... you play as a monster, right. And you're also beating up other monsters. Right. You're in the city.
Yeah. I love the beat-em-up genre.
Yeah.
It's always rare to see a beat-em-up these days, so mm-hmm. I appreciated that.
Yeah, and I really like that it's monsters. It makes it feel really like, I don't know, just there's something very satisfying about like picking up a whole building and like chucking it at another monster. Yeah. The art style is really interesting. Kind of looks like a comic book. Has a very like, even the fonts mm-hmm. for all the different menus and stuff like that look like a sort of that comic book style. And I played like the first two levels, I think.
I like how there's four different characters to choose from and they all play pretty different. Two of them are like the monsters themselves mm-hmm. and two of them are more almost like Ultraman. Kind of like just big people.
Yeah.
Who are a bit more agile.
Yes.
And there seem to be a lot of customization once you get past those first levels mm-hmm. of like, you know, what areas do you want to focus on.
Yeah, so, there's like a level up system and attributes and all sorts of
things. So we're very cool. We're very early, but it seemed cool. So maybe we'll keep going with
it. And this is on Switch. If we're can playing find the time. On Switch. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's on a lot of platforms. We were playing on Switch. Mm-hmm. We should say this was by 13AM Games, who's known for Rumbo.
Yes. And we love them. We played Rumbo and we were able to meet the developers before. And it's great.
Cool
to
see them with a new game.
Yeah.
All right.
Whew. Oh, that's a lot of games. Sure. How did we play all those games this week?
I don't know.
Man. Way to go, us.
On to the news.
News.
Thank you. We had breaking news. Again, you're looking at my page. Do not
you
look.
We had breaking secret news. Breaking
right
news.
Right before we were about to record
the news
that I wrote down. You don't know what it is.
I don't know.
I do. I'm going to tell you. CD Projekt confirmed that a new Witcher game is in development.
Wow.
There's a few other little details. Not a lot of details. They're going to be using the Unreal Engine 5. Previously, they'd been using their own engine.
Okay.
And this is the start of a new strategic partnership with Epic Games.
Ooh.
Wow.
Witcher and Fortnite. Here we go.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You know, part of me, the very cynical side of me wonders, like, is this how they get, like, were the technical issues that Cyberpunk had... because of
their own engine,
their technical backbone that they were using,
proprietary engine?
Is this helping them get around that stuff? Are they getting help from Epic on that stuff? I have no clue.
Yeah,
that's just where my mind went.
Yeah, that's like the development side that I'm not as familiar with.
What side are you familiar with?
Not that side. Yeah. I mean, I've just the whole like which engines and like how does that work when you have like a previous game that was already made and you probably have like some sort of like. Engine that it's on, do you like how do you get it over to a different thing? Like that seems pretty hard to me, but maybe it's not. That is a very, very good point though. But the original Witcher game did not have technical problems.
Maybe not to the extent of Cyberpunk, but I do remember there were some rough early days for that game.
Okay.
That game, so I actually played that game on Switch. I played the Switch version of that game, which, you know,
maybe it's not the best way to enjoy that game, but you liked it.
That was the only way that I was going to get through that game at that time, was playing the Switch version and being
able
to play it all over.
Yeah.
I love that game. I thought that version was really amazing, actually, how they translated it. It did not feel janky
that's good.
At all. So, who knows when this will be coming out.
Yeah.
But,
I'm a huge fan of The Witcher, so I'm interested to see to see this come to fruition.
Yeah, so that's
look at that breaking news
breaking
on a Monday.
News,
I love
attention.
It. Okay.
All right, we got a few other stories. EA Play, EA's live event that usually happens around E3, won't be happening this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they put out a little statement, and I thought their explanation was sort of interesting.
Yeah.
So what they said, this year, things are not lining up to show you everything on one date. We'll have exciting things happening at our world-class studios, and this year we'll reveal much more about those projects when the time is right for each of them.
I feel like this is one of those times where Nintendo has sort of led the way on these with these directs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, back, we were talking about 10 years ago, you know, like 10 years ago, everybody... the expectation, if you're a big publisher, is that you would align all of your announcements and all of your new stuff around one date, which is E3.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the industry standard back in the day. But I think more and more, you know, I think these publishers are like, well, we can't do that sometimes. And yeah, Nintendo's definitely came to that conclusion early and was like, we're just going to make our own announcements with these directs and show these games when they're ready to be shown. Like, the development cycles for all of these games are all in different timelines. Not everything is developed
absolutely
to be done in June, yeah, or whatever.
And it's hard to get all those things states ready at the same time.
And then speaking with developers before, when we were planning for E3 and stuff, like, it's very clear. They're like, oh man, this is going to be really hard for us to do. Like, we are making a game. It's on its own timeline, but we have to, like, now reprioritize stuff to make something for E3. Like, that's a tough thing for them, for you to ask of them, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting that they put this out now, you know, so E3 is not happening this year.
Right.
Last year, there was at least the kind of pseudo E3 that, mm-hmm. that, you know, some people were part of. There's the Jeff Keighley Game Fest as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, the end of the fiscal year is around the corner. Maybe they felt compelled to... Next year is going to be the fiscal year celebratory episode. you know, maybe they felt compelled to get it out for that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to have to start hearing what all these companies are doing in what would have been E3.
Exactly.
I mean, summer's a great time to make announcements, especially if you got a game that's coming out like the fall or the holiday.
Yeah, you want to get things going then in the summertime.
You are not as compelled to shoehorn something into that time frame if there's not everybody else going.
And there's like two sides of that coin, I think. Like, the good part of it is that you give the developers the time they need to like put something together that makes sense and announce it when it makes sense, which obviously works. But also, like, losing that big moment where all the news happens and it's so exciting and you're just like waiting to see what everyone is going to be talking about. Like, that's a cool moment that I hope doesn't get lost altogether. Like, we don't have many moments as an industry, like as a gaming industry, where we all can like rally behind something fun. So that's one part of E3 that I did like. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a way to still do that somehow with everyone kind of doing their own thing. But yeah, you know, it's tough.
Next. This is something where I need exclusively your reaction because I don't have one.
Yeah.
There was some new Hogwarts Legacy
title direct, aka State of Play.
State of Play, where they revealed some gameplay, some plot points. Mm-hmm. I know almost nothing about Harry Potter, so hopefully you saw this and have something to say about it, because I sure don't.
Yeah, no, I saw it. It looks interesting. I feel like...
Wow.
I feel like, and I don't know, I mean, I only saw a little bit from this thing, but it just felt a little shallow to me, like... Just, I think it's just like hard to put that whole experience into a game, and you know, you're translating people's like really long seated memories from when I was reading these books like a long time ago. Yeah. Like, this is like, again, some like weird nostalgia stuff. Like, it's hard to translate that into a game.
Yeah.
So it's a little like chintzy to me.
The one thing I saw that again made any sense to me was that this takes place like 100 years before Harry Potter.
Right.
So you're not going to see...
You're not going to get locked into those characters.
If you live in the Harry Potter universe, do you just live forever? Do you not age?
No.
So all those people who are already there, they wouldn't be... So you're not going to see any of your usual
people. Right. I think that's smart because you don't want people to like...
Expect that.
Yeah. And also, like, it's probably really hard to like write those characters and have it feel that way.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this one.
All right, we got to move on because I don't care that much.
Wow.
Elden Ring. We're back on Elden Ring.
Back to Elden Ring.
So I saw that. So Elden Ring, they announced they sold 12 million copies. Crazy. I found this helpful article.
Forbes. Wow.
Forbes. Great.
Reputable site.
Well,
business
sometimes,
site.
Where they were comparing it to other kind of sales milestones that big games had. So... this list is interesting. Some of them I care about, some of them I think are suspect. But so Skyrim sold 10 million in 1 month. That's impressive. I mean, Skyrim is, you know, crazy.
Huge game.
One thing I will say, Elden Ring does make me wonder the future of the Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah.
Because it has a lot that made those games special.
Special, yeah.
Of just the big world, just the open exploration.
Yeah, the customization of your character.
The attention to detail.
Yep.
So I really wonder, like, what's going on at Bethesda now, if they're a little, like, spooked?
Ooh, you think they're spooked?
Well, look, if Elden Ring becomes the new Skyrim, Skyrim's a game that people still play. It's 10 years later. They just re-release it onto everything, and it's just like a forever game. I feel
this
like
could be a forever game.
I feel
game.
Like Elden Ring could be a forever game.
I think it definitely has potential to be a forever
so,
game.
I don't know. That was just something I was thinking about. I was like, I know they're working on a new one of these. Yeah. But that, I'd be a
that
little
is
freaked
insane
out.
Insane sales. 12 million.
It is. Some other ones. GTA. Oh, this is GTA 4. Mm-hmm. The GTA 5 numbers are crazy.
Yeah.
10 million in 3.5 months.
Yeah. That's not
Diablo 3, 10 million in 6 months.
Okay.
God of War. The 2018 God of War, 10 million in 13 months. That was only on one platform, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was PlayStation only.
Yeah,
right?
that's not counting the PC version that came out later. Breath of the Wild, 10 million in 20
but
months.
But also on one platform.
At a launch game where it was harder to get the hardware. So that was a little
constrained
to the hardware. I'm going to defend Breath of the Wild to my last breath.
You can. It doesn't.
What are you trying to
sales
say?
Sales do not make a game. Good or, come on now. We don't have to play this game.
We're
going
to do it.
Sales are sales. The game.
So, I just thought that was interesting, putting into perspective, like, how big. It's just hard to comprehend how
so
it's broken into the mainstream.
It's a.
For a game like this.
This is, like, one of those things where it's, like, is Danny Trejo going to be playing Elden Ring, like, next week? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. And then they put out that other announcement around this of, like, we're exploring how to bring Elden Ring to things outside of games, so.
Oh, I saw there was, like, some, like, spoof trailer that on Netflix, like, something.
Right. So I don't know if you're going to be getting your Godric plushie or.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder what they're thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean. Look at what happened with The Witcher.
George R.R. Martin, get him back on the blower. Put that pen down. We got more.
No, he has to write these Game of Thrones books.
He's got to write this Elden Ring. That's what's hot now. Nobody cares about Game of Thrones.
Oh, I know. That's like Elden Ring. 7 years,
just,
whatever.
Just rip that page up and start over.
Throw it into the fire.
And then our last story is another sale. We got all these sales announcements. But again, the fiscal year is a foot. People got to look good.
We
got to
sell, baby.
We got a financial briefing coming
sell,
up.
Sell.
Triangle Strategy. Sells 800,000 copies in 2 weeks. Obviously, that's not 12 million copies. I thought this was quite high.
Quite high for this kind of game.
I was impressed.
Niche game.
Yeah.
So and launched around Elden Ring too. So
totally. Yeah. We saw some people asking us about this. Again,
we're a little busy right now, but I like this game.
I would be interested. Maybe we'll get to this later. This feels to me like one of those games you would get in like the PS1, PS2 era. Like really classic, like Square Enix strategy game.
Mm-hmm. It's got a little Bravely feel to it too.
Absolutely, yeah, with the graphics.
Yeah, with the graphics,
so, But I was like, wow, way to go. Triangle Strategy. You got your nonsense name, you got some demos, and
you
really
like,
made it happen.
Do you know about Triangle Strategy? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're like that game called Triangle Strategy.
Triangle Strategy.
I was like, is that like a code name?
No, it's Triangle Strategy. Huh?
Huh? I was like, I don't know.
Well, it's no longer
about.
Project Triangle Strategy. It's just Triangle Strategy.
It's just like when arms becomes just arms. Okay.
Never forget though, Bravely Default is a ridiculous name in Japan. Bravely Default Flying Fairy. Is the full name.
That's
the
true.
Full proper name. So at least
and then
they
when you finish the game, the title screen changes.
Yeah,
which is
I think we might have
traumatic.
A question. That's a good segue. I think we might have a question about Bravely Default.
Should we answer that question first?
I can't recall. We should say one of our Patreon perks is we are doing now a weekly bonus Q&A. That's separate from this because we get so many questions. So that's going to be specific to Patreon subscribers.
Yes.
So we're going to do in some of the questions.
Remember, that's where the spicy questions are getting answered.
But let's begin. Yeah. First question is from Chase Yama.
Oh, I love
who's
Chase Yama.
Who's a wonderful person who actually, Chase Yama gave me some technical advice when we were having problems with the device known as the cat.
Yes, thank you, Chase.
Thank you, Chase.
You're amazing.
But he says, I think it's fair to say that Nintendo is no stranger to interesting decisions for better or for worse. I was wondering if there are any decisions that Nintendo made that really stick out to you or made you scratch your head. I was personally reminiscing on how new 3DS XL did not include a charger well before smartphones started doing that.
That's right. I remember that. We did talk about them when we were launching that product.
Speaking of the new 3DS, I think the naming is just one of those things that has always been a...
Especially with...
Sticky wicket
for
Nintendo
over the years. The naming of things is a little confusing Western market.
Starting with the Wii U.
Yeah, and then it was like the XL, which was actually the LL in Japan.
That made sense, but once you got into the new... And then even DS to 3DS...
And then there was DSi, remember?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's like, that I get it. It's like you have confusing. A brand that people know and like, but mm-hmm. you need to communicate that something is new.
Why was not the Wii U the Super Wii?
I was out to dinner with some friends, and one of the friends recently was not big into games, and we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, the system before the Switch, the Wii U. And she said, oh, well, how is that different from the Wii? And it's like, well, there's your problem.
Oh, my
Welcome
gosh.
To my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I hearing mean, that name for the first time, I already knew we were going to have an issue. I mean, naming, I immediately was like, uh-oh.
Naming is hard. Maybe
branding.
It's been made a little bit more hard. Thankfully, the Switch is a great
name. Switch is a great name.
People love, people like, people understood.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think for me, it's like, sometimes Nintendo makes like crazy products that shocks me, but it all kind of works out sometimes. Like
Example.
Most of the time, like Labo.
Labo.
Also that Mario Kart home circuit thing.
Oh, sure.
Like some of these weird like cardboard things.
More like toy-like than
yes.
game-like.
This is where they. I feel like Nintendo like has like the their core memory unlocked, which is like we used to be a toy company. We used to be like make these physical things, and we want to, we have that in our DNA still.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, usually it works out, and there is a market for that. There's even if it's a smaller market, but I'm always like,
But you you can definitely be impressed by the creativity. I mean, I think I mean, Labo, I mean, you know, definitely not a sales success by any means, but extremely creative.
Yeah, I totally.
And just a really thing to wrap your mind around.
I think the company should still do stuff like that for sure, just to be innovative and unique. But it is one of those things where you're like, well, interesting that we have to stop working on the next Zelda game to make a cardboard box, but great.
Next question from Roxas asks, hi, Kit and Krista, do you have any game soundtracks that you have been obsessed with in the past?
Brave
in the past,
Default.
I'm still obsessed.
That is the one.
Oh, that's a great one.
That is, I still listen to that, like, pretty often.
That one is really good.
It is very good. The other one is Night in the Woods.
Yes, that's another extremely good one.
Yeah.
Two that I will just never be able to get out of my head. One old and one new. The old one is Mega Man 2.
Okay.
Still just rattling around in Mel's skull all the time. Bobble Man, Flash Man, Metal Man. I could just keep going.
Yes.
The other is we were just talking about it. Mario Kart 8.
That big band.
Banger soundtrack. We did the whistle challenge on Nintendo Minute, which
I
won.
I was thinking you were bad at it because
no,
you whistled
great.
Out of tune. And you won because you could guess my tunes better because I was a better whistler.
No.
Yeah.
I'm still whistling. I'm like a whistling madman with this Mario Kart 8.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Oh boy, this name is.
Gianmarco Perez Batres?
We apologize if
I'm sorry.
Not right. We did our best.
I hope I did okay. We've been quite busy. Yes. Triangle Strategy.
Oh, we already answered this question.
Oh my gosh. Yes. This is on my list. This is in a backlog list, though.
It's we don't have it, but it's already in the
backlog. But I want to play. I did play a little bit of that demo.
I haven't played the demos either.
Oh, I played a little bit of the demo.
Which one?
Like second one, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. You can carry it over.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
But no, I have not gotten a chance to fully dig into this. This is the kind of game that I love, though, so I want to play it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Next question from Steve Garza. Mm-hmm. Do you both ever get recognized in public a lot? And did you get recognized when you all went to the Nintendo office in Kyoto? So yes to all of the above.
Yeah.
We would get, I mean, where we got noticed the most is shows like PAX or Comic-Con or E3, because that's obviously, you know, people who are going to those shows or people who, you know, watch the stuff that we do, you know, out in public, like occasionally.
Yeah.
The Japan question is interesting. Well, so we went to Nintendo Live, and I remember we were on the way to that venue.
We were on, like, a subway.
And people did spot us, which I was really surprised at.
Yeah.
I did not expect that at all.
Like, a lot of people asked to take photos with us, but, like, we didn't speak Japanese and they didn't really speak English, so we just kind of figured it out. But I was surprised that people in Japan would watch our videos because it was in English, so it's kind of cool.
That was really the crossover appeal.
There you go.
Of Kit and Krista.
I was very, very happy.
Delivering world peace and joy.
Oh,
yeah.
The feel good podcast of the year.
The feel good podcast of the year around
not,
the world.
Not just said by us now.
No.
By you guys.
Yes.
But yeah, and then there's nothing really like what we were doing with Nintendo Minute at any of the other Nintendo offices. So we did get recognized in our Kyoto office a lot.
Yeah.
And the developers, of course, all like we all work together and stuff, but there were definitely people that were like, oh my gosh, like you guys are here. Right. What's going on? You know, so that was cool. Yeah.
Ben E.
What are your thoughts on the Xenoblade Chronicles series as a whole and any and the upcoming Xenoblade Chronicles 3 game?
I think it's a great series. I think those games are often too big for me to get through.
Yeah.
I have played all of those games.
I don't think I've beaten a single one.
I finished one of them, but yeah. I definitely admire it. I'm definitely looking forward to Xenoblade Chronicles 3. This is
the first instance of Vista was Xenoblade Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, Chronicles X.
Yes.
That game, strangely, that's one of the few Wii U games that did not get ported to Switch.
Yeah,
I would love to play that again.
Yeah. Another Ben Booth. Do you agree with Nintendo's drip feed NSO strategy? Mm. What would you do if you were in charge? We're not in charge, unfortunately. I'm in charge of my own destiny now, but what systems would you put on the core NSO versus the expansion?
All right, so this is like a multi-part question.
NSO stuff is not great.
So I want to ask you some questions. So NSO is a lot of things. Like, what are the parts of it that are really most aggravating to you?
Well, for me, it's like, this is the thing that I feel like sometimes Nintendo does that make me upset, is that they want you to do something their way, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, that Splatoon voice chat, for example. The app,
yeah.
Is like extremely frustrating because
I don't know
like,
anybody uses
there is no other way for you to easily do that with the game. There's no voice chat in the game. They want to shoehorn you to do it their way, but then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So if you want someone to do something your way, like have it work at the very least, right? So that part really aggravates me. I do have a very like
I've evolved
bad memory of that.
I've evolved to the level. That just voice chat. I just don't want voice chat in games, period.
It.
Yeah.
I want it when I play with somebody I know.
Right.
Like when I'm playing. You can just call me. But again, like if you are going to make me do this,
yeah,
have it
fair.
Work. That is a fair.
Right.
That's a fair thing to ask for. If you're going to make me pay for it, make me.
Yeah.
Do it your way. Have it work. Right.
I think that's good. I think it's good to break it down because there's so many components of NSO now. That's like, what part is really like
annoying?
Grinding your gears.
Yeah, I mean, some parts are all right.
I think he's referring to the games, the classic games.
Yeah, and how it's
this is where I have an issue.
Yeah, you want them all.
Well, yes, that would be ideal. I understand maybe they're not on that schedule, but I think giving people an indication of what. The plan is helps of like how often am I going to be getting these?
Yeah. Again, if you're making people pay for it.
I think the initial, you know, NES and Super Nintendo games, that was like, those were awesome groups of games.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything after that has been kind of bad for the most part.
Exactly. And you're kind of like locked into it.
And it became very inconsistent. So it's like, are they basically done with this versus this stuff they dug up that I've never heard of?
And like, is it still worth it to you to keep paying?
Yeah, so that's what I get worried about, you know, when they added, you know, Nintendo 64 and Genesis. It's like, what is the plan?
Yeah.
I almost have more confidence in Sega to deliver, you know, their best Genesis stuff than I do with the other platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
To his other question on what platforms, this is just, you know, me, if I was still working at Nintendo, I'd love to get something newer.
Yeah.
This stuff is old.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is so old that it doesn't really hold up like we were talking about.
And if
about.
You're a younger player, you're like, what is this? And why would I want to play...
And some of those games are really unplayable.
Why would I want to play, you know, ice hockey on NES? Like, that means that means nothing to me.
Yeah,
a lot of a lot of those NES games are like early NES games that are just like...
Where are the GameCube games?
In a museum.
Get that on there. Those are great. And those hold up.
Super Mario 3D All-Stars. That's where they are.
Oh my gosh. You're right. That's no longer for sale.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I will say I like the additions of, you know, the Animal Crossing DLC, the Mario Kart DLC. But again, you don't know that is going to be part of the value. That's just like out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then so you don't know what to expect.
It's just hard to get a handle on what am I getting out of this.
Yeah.
So I think that would help. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
If they were just a bit more transparent about
what
the plan is for each of these tiers.
Yeah, I think that's very basic information you can share with people, right? So, all right. Bryce Gravel?
He had multiple questions. Ooh, we're choosing okay. question number two here.
Question number two.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to interact or meet with any of the Nintendo voice actors? Well, we talked about the Pit voice actor. Like Charles Martinet, I recently got to meet Rosalina's voice actress, Laura Faye Smith, and she was incredibly sweet. They're all really nice, the voice actors. Our localization
team Charles Martinet, though.
Closely with them.
He is a gem.
He is amazing. He's just like, he kind of reminds me of Mr. Miyamoto in a way, where he's got like this childlike spirit.
Smile on his face.
Really happy all the time. That man loves to eat. I love anyone that loves to eat. So I'm always like, let's go.
It's always like, if you ever take Charles out to dinner, watch out. He's gonna
order the whole menu.
I'm like,
go for it. I'll eat this with you. That sounds great.
I remember when I was working on Breath of the Wild and it took off. All the voice actors were getting contacted, and I became like their default contact.
That's right.
Which I didn't really expect to do.
The Zelda voice actress.
Patricia Somerset, who is the voice of Zelda.
She's so nice.
I came to know, and she's really great. And some of the other ones as well. So yeah, we don't work with them like all the time.
Sometimes when they have like interview requests, we'll help them with that.
Yeah, but they're all really
wonderful.
They're
all amazing. Yeah, so cool. What a fun job to be a voice actor. Yeah, that's so cool. VGM Life. Did you ever interact with Nintendo PR teams from other countries? Yes. If so, were there interesting cultural differences that altered campaigns in these regions? Yeah. We had a pretty big like global contingent for all of the communication teams. And we were working very, very closely with the teams in Europe and Japan, everywhere.
This was one of the parts of the job that I liked the best.
I loved it too. Yeah, it was one of my favorite parts of the job to be able to like learn about the other cultures, like what they do in terms of marketing, like what like their audiences were like into. But also they're just nice people and we like to hang out with them. So it was always really fun. That was one thing about E3 that I loved is that was our big sort of like reunion get together where everybody from all the different regions would come, we'd hang out, and we would also have very productive meetings and stuff that we'd get to see them. I also love that sort of, you know, in the years before you and I left, the company got more and more global. Yeah. Like it felt like we were more connected as like a global team. And that was really fun. Just being able to like share stuff and launch things simultaneously. Like it felt like it made like this big impact. And that was great.
As far as cultural differences, I'd say that, you know, the U.S. and Europe are actually quite similar in some ways, especially when it came to, like, marketing. We would often see pretty eye to eye.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Japan just had different philosophies sometimes on, like, what's the best way to market something. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say is, you know, Europe, they were always reminding us that they serve all these countries that all have a different language.
Such a tough job.
So you would just get the pained reminder of, like, We have 18 different languages to translate everything into, so please give us X, you know, number
things
of days
early,
to do everything. You could just feel the pain in their voice.
Yeah, no, I get that. That is a really hard job.
Yeah, and so it's like you've almost got, you know, the U.S. is big, but we're all, you know, we're all speaking the same language, culturally mostly similar.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Europe, it's like every country is doing
kind of their own thing.
A riff on that, which is really hard to keep
really
track of.
Really hard, yeah.
Yeah, so I felt for them.
That was tough for them during E3 when we have to pre-write all the stuff that we're going to be tweeting out or all our social media stuff. And like, here you go. Have fun translating this into 20 different languages. Bye. Yeah, totally.
What was E-figs was one of the things. English, French, Italian, German, Spanish.
German, Spanish, yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the things that I remember.
Yeah,
but there's even more than that.
There's even more. Yeah. There's like Netherlands.
Scandinavian countries.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh.
Ooh, it sounds hard. All right. Devin Bryce. Do you think Nintendo will ever catch up with other companies from a hardware standpoint? Or will they continue to forego power for uniqueness?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, this has always been, you know, the company's approach is, you know, you can differentiate yourself by, well, I really said that weird.
Differentiate yourself.
You can do that, you know, by having like cutting edge hardware. And that's kind of what, you know, Xbox and Sony, PlayStation have been doing. Mm-hmm. And I think the company sees that as the proverbial red ocean. Where it's like, you're really like
fighting
tooth and nail on somebody with something else. So it's like, or you can find a new way to be innovative, whether it's like, you know, the controls, like the Wii, obviously the tech in that wasn't even HD.
yeah.
was nothing or to the, speak the of. Whole, you know, obviously. Look at behind me. We got this Game Boy.
Yeah.
You know, that's like stuff that probably came off the scrap heap. There's nothing crazy cutting edge in a Game
that's
Boy,
right.
but it was
yeah.
the first kind of handheld form factor.
Mm-hmm. 3DS so, with the 3D.
Right.
The Switch, obviously.
Yeah. You could argue the 3DS was the one time we did really have something that was cutting edge tech-wise. Of
okay,
glasses-free 3D.
3D
is like, whoa!
And so ended gimmicky,
up,
though.
Ended up being kind of a nothing in
it's
the long
such
run.
Such a gimmick.
But no, I think the company is very committed to...
Pretty committed to that.
To zagging.
I don't think... They know that they can't win in that yeah. red ocean.
I mean, the other thing is, like, that's a really expensive place to be. And it's mm-hmm. like, can you really compete with Microsoft if you're just... Who can spend the most money on this stuff?
Exactly.
I mean, Nintendo's a big company, but they're not Microsoft.
Right.
They're
right.
not Sony either, honestly.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
they need that. They need that edge to mm-hmm. stay competitive.
Yeah. The other thing that they have going for them is the solid, like, in-house
yeah.
development team right. making that Mario
totally.
And Zelda.
Right.
Yeah. yeah, forever.
All right. This is a question from InDesigner that we've gotten the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
So thank you for being persistent. What are your top three most played 3DS games?
I looked at this
through this
weekend.
Website. And I think for me, I don't know if it was right because there was some stuff on there that I was like, I don't know about that, but I have a solid two.
Okay, you go.
My number one, which I absolutely know is number one, is Street Pass Me Plaza.
Okay, that's mine too.
Yeah.
My number two is Street Pass Me Plaza.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was your number one?
Monster Hunter.
That was my number two.
Really? Oh my gosh! It's that Rathalos.
Yeah.
The Rathalos grinding.
Oh my gosh. Street Pass is like...
We need to bring back Street Pass.
Oh my God, I love Street Pass.
Why can't we put that on Switch?
Just like the early days of 3DS when you would get that flashing green light.
Yes.
I'd be so excited.
Oh my gosh. Especially when you were at E3 and you're like, is it Reggie?
Oh my gosh.
Is it and Mr. Miyamoto?
I had some crazy moments early on with Street Pass where like I was driving on the Golden Gate Bridge and got the flashing light at that moment.
You drove past somebody.
Yeah, that's when I was still like putting like my 3DS in the cup holder. So I was like, I'm keeping an eye.
Yes.
At stop signs, of course.
You
on this,
shouldn't do that.
On this light.
And also like if it fills up, you have to clear it, remember?
That wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why you have to keep
right.
an eye on it. You
right.
couldn't just let it. But like when you walk around like E3 with your 3DS in your purse.
Man, or those early like packs, those early pack shows, it was like, oh, this is, I'm
and you
feasting.
play those little games.
Yes.
You're like, I'm on level.
The
like,
games were good.
It was so good.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, great. I'm going to miss
Did
that.
You have a three that was not? Mine was like, this is not. And I can't remember what it was.
I think it was Picross, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of those times where
yeah.
I fell asleep with it on. You know, I used to
yeah.
do that
yeah.
with my 3DS a lot.
The Don Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play Kid Icarus. Didn't seem like my kind of. Oh, that was another question we asked.
Yeah.
I'll go with a non-gaming question. What is each of your favorite city you have visited in the U.S. and why? Since I'm sure Japan cities would rate very highly with both of you.
Okay.
Go.
Cities in the U.S. You know what? I really like Portland, Oregon.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Very solid. Yeah.
That's close to us. You know, before the pandemic, I would go there
yeah.
like every year on my birthday and it's always fun. I like food. Okay. So
yeah.
it's a good place to eat. It's a good place to like go for a hike and you know, get good coffee and like
right.
all that stuff. So
right.
that's the motivation for me traveling anywhere is like, what can I eat? So yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Very good. I went to college in Washington, D.C.,
okay.
and it's a city that I really came to love a lot. There's obviously kind of the historical aspect to
mm-hmm.
it. There's just so much to do in that city, too.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's got everything you could want.
Also good food.
Very hot in the summer, though.
Yeah.
I would come back here in the summer.
getting
a little
the
too
humidity
muggy
in the
for
East
me.
Coast is
yeah.
hard for the Californians,
yeah.
I think.
Right. So
yeah.
a lot of times, you know, that gets left out of like the big East Coast city conversation. Like,
that's
oh, it's
true.
New York or Philadelphia
yeah.
or Boston. It's like, don't forget about Washington, D.C.
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah no, it's true.
Last question.
Sparkling Salt.
I like that name.
Me too. What video game would you love to have remastered or a remake of?
I got a good one.
Oh, here we go. Is it going to be some obscure game no one's ever heard of?
It's a little obscure, but I think enough people are going to really agree with me on this.
All right. Let's hear it.
Do you have a guess?
I don't have a guess.
No.
I was going to say
Mega
Man, but no, it's not.
This was a Wii game.
Okay.
Boom Blocks.
Boom Blocks.
Boom Blocks.
Oh my god, that game! I haven't thought about that game for a long time. That game is
so good. You're talking about games that use like the Wii Remote. Like you could totally do a remake.
Oh, with the Switch, with the Joy-Con.
With Joy-Con, that would be incredible. It's like, yeah, you know,
that would be easy.
Remaster, remake. Like, you don't need graphics for Boom Blocks. It's stacks of blocks.
Yeah, you can just like pour it over.
We joke about George R. R. Martin's contribution to Elden Ring. What was Steven Spielberg's contribution to Boom Blocks? Because that was Steven Spielberg presents Boom Blocks.
It's like, this is a page with a tree on it for Elden Ring. Like, this is a page with a block on it. Get going.
What was he doing? Anyhow, I surely hope Steven Spielberg is not holding up some sort of Boom Blocks revival. Because that would make me upset at him.
He's busy right now, so.
Upset at him? Do not make me upset, Steven.
Steven! It's like a mom. Steven, you're grounded. Go make Boom Blocks. Wind Waker.
But that already happened.
No, I don't like that
one. It has not, again, one of those strangely non-released. That's what I want. You just want that on the Switch.
I just want that on Switch.
Okay, I'll settle for that. I mean, that's not extremely ambitious of you to say, but...
But why isn't it there then?
I guess that's what people have come to expect.
Hey!
Huh?
Hey!
Oh, we made it through the meat of this episode, and now the ominous vibe is coming back.
Oh, I know. You had to, like, really try hard to keep your true feelings to yourself today before
the
we got
Kinnerati
to
the is laughing uproariously right now.
No, they're not. They're probably...
Got them!
They're leaving you to join my Christopians because of your mean-spirited, ominous vibes.
Both of these names clearly reveal we have very...
different taste.
We really think of ourselves very highly, clearly.
Oh,
and ways people may not agree with.
I think mine's more egalitarian, honestly, because it's like we're all part of this society together. You seem to be very on a pedestal.
You clearly need to sell this because mine just is like, yes, Kinnerati.
No. It sounds dangerous. Like, you guys are going to commit a crime.
You're confused about what this is.
You're
going to
go, like, rob, like, a museum or something. You're going to go heist a museum. Yeah, don't do that.
Me and Nicolas Cage are going to go.
Yeah, you're going to, like, Natural History Museum.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well,
believe it or not, that's the end of the episode.
Oh, my gosh.
Believe it or not.
Throw it down on the floor.
Throw the page.
I'm going to gently set mine down. But we made it to the end of the episode. Yes. Yes.
Deep breath.
Don't forget to join our Patreon. New tiers.
Do you need the page back for this?
No, I don't. I'm good.
Okay.
After 6 episodes, you would think that I got this at this point, but honestly. But yeah, new tiers. We hope that you will find one of these tiers interesting and join us. We're so excited to roll out more stuff to do together. So yeah, check that out if you haven't already and join us there. Don't forget to follow us on all of our other social channels. It's @KitAndKrista, and we're on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and of course YouTube. And then of course, give this video a thumbs up, hit that subscribe button, leave us a comment, enter the Tunic giveaway.
Please.
And remember to enter your, to leave your, I want to play Tunic because blank just, fill in the blank.
I'm just going to keep nodding until Nod. You get through this.
Nod. I think we are there. At the end.
Correct.
Okay. We're gonna leave now. Bye.
Bye.